Thank you, Jerry. And Joe, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Now we'll send it on out to you. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Some notes about this game is Aaron Sanchez, with an up-and-down game, winds up getting the win. He is the first Blue Jay to walk at least seven batters in a ball game since Brandon Morrow did it last year. He did eight against the Red Sox. It's the 50th time that the Blue Jays have had a pitcher walk at least seven, but only the seventh time in the last 10 years. He is the first Blue Jay to issue seven walks and get a win since Jeff Ware did it in September of 1995. And hands up, everybody who remembers Jeff Ware. We got time to sneak one phone call in, period. Not one more, but one phone call in before we say goodbye to the rest of the country. And again, we will continue our Blue Jays talk until 11 o'clock Eastern time on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. Sammo in Toronto, you're going to lead things off.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to get your take on how Pompey did, has come back from from his apology, and how important his play will be for the rest of the year if he continues, into 70 games to 100 games, and how important would it be for Travis and Pompey for this team? And also, I think it's a really good win and shows good signs, the fact that a player like Batista is not in there, but they're getting their homers done, and I guess I just wanted to say they did a good job,
Yeah.
I want to hear about what you think about Pompey and how his comeback from his, bad error he had, right?
Yeah, well, he's been outstanding the last couple of games. I mean, three hits last night, two hits tonight. His batting average is up to .255. He's got his OPS almost at .800 for a guy who'd been having just a terrible time of it in the early part of the season. He did have a poor break on one ball tonight, but managed to get back and make the catch. He's stealing bases. It's two games, right? You can't take anything from two games, just like you can't take anything from the first 14 or one or anything. But it is really good to see Dalton Pompey respond to, I don't know if you want to call it the adversity, but the rough day after he took all that upon himself and decided, I'm going to make a change here. I'm going to start to play more aggressively. Get after it. He may have missed a hit-and-run sign, which cost the Blue Jays an out and possibly a run today. Maybe. Russ Martin might have missed that sign, too. You never know. But I'm very, very encouraged by what I've seen out of Dalton Pompey the last 2 days. He's a talented, talented kid. And that should not be forgotten. Thanks for the call. Again, more of your calls after the top of the hour. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 4-2. It's a Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yes, a snack would go good with the game. Thanks for asking. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
That's going to do it for us across the network. But again, we will continue our Blue Jays talking on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on the Rogers radio app, on sportsnet.ca/590. Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904. All kinds of places you can find us. So dial us up, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Orioles 8-7 and have a chance to sweep them tomorrow. We're on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern. A 7:07 first pitch, Drew Hutchison against Chris Tillman. When those two hooked up a week and a half ago, Blue Jays won that game 10-7. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Frank Head, I'm Mike Wilner. Remember, stick around for more Blue Jays talk. For everybody else, good night from Rogers.
Don't miss a pitch of Blue Jays Baseball.
Hi, this is Drew Hutchison. You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Do OP. pitch. Rip deep left field. Long drive. Back goes the left fielder. That ball is gone. There she goes. Justin Smoak's first home run as a Blue Jay has put the Blue Jays in flight. They have tied the Orioles 2-2 here in the bottom of the fourth. Another opposite field home run in this game.
Smoak hits it off the top of the left field wall and out, and a big home run there because the Blue Jays hadn't scored on Ubaldo Jimenez and didn't score on him when he pitched against them in Baltimore back on April the 11th. Seven innings of one-hit shutout, and with Aaron Sanchez being so shaky, you were starting to wonder whether the Jays would even get on the board before the game got out of hand. But Smoak with that two-run homer, followed by a two-run homer by Devin Travis in the fifth. 4-2 Blue Jays, and there's your final. Sanchez really did settle down in the fourth and fifth, at one point retiring seven batters on just 21 pitches. Then he came back out in the sixth and looked like the guy who pitched the first three innings, walking two of the three batters he faced and giving up a hard line drive. So in came Roberto Osuna to put out that fire. Brett Cecil got two outs in the eighth. Miguel Castro got the final four outs. And the Blue Jays get a 4-2 win over the Baltimore Orioles. First time this season that they've beaten the Orioles in five tries in which they didn't score double digits in runs. They're 4-1 right now against the O's. And they've guaranteed a series win. They will go for a sweep tomorrow. And that would really be something if they sweep away the Orioles and they finish this homestand 5-5 after starting at 1-4. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell long distance. 1-888-666-0590. So no silliness tonight. No histrionics. No nonsense. Sanchez did throw a pitch over the head of Caleb Joseph in the third, but it was clearly apparent that he was battling his control something fierce and that there was no intent there. It was nice to see everyone just behave after all the silliness from last night and that followed today with all the comments and whatever. Eddie in Fort Erie. Eddie, welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the whole time I was thinking about how this game was going to turn out because of what happened yesterday, and I called you last night about Aaron Sanchez and see how, like, what kind of an outing he was going to have. And I thought that, his command was not so good. But I guess, you know what, a win's a win no matter how you get it. But I'm probably certain that from a fan's point of view that he wasn't very happy with how his command kind of, not worked out for him tonight, you know?
Yeah, no, he was terrible through the first three innings.
I know.
And then again in the sixth, and he was fantastic in the fourth and fifth. And if he hadn't been able to pull it out and get those seven batters, again, seven outs on 21 pitches to end the third and then through the fourth and fifth and look so good, so dominant, then people would be calling in and saying he's got to go to Buffalo or he's got to go to the bullpen. And we may have people calling in and saying that anyway, but I mean, in the third inning, people were already writing out his bus ticket for the minor leagues. It's three starts, and those seven hitters show me that it's in there. And I would love to see them make a commitment another couple or three starts to seeing if it does, if they can get it out, and if Aaron Sanchez can be that guy because the ceiling is just so high.
Well, yeah, no doubt. I mean, with his fastball that he has, that can go in the mid-90s, the high-90s, I mean, that's something that you should be able to handle with no problem. But you know what, I'm sure he's going to think about what happened tonight and say, you know what, I can get better. And that's what I think he has to do, get better every start.
All right, thank you, Eddie, for the call. Yeah, if he's not sitting there and thinking he can get better, then seven walks in five and a third innings, then he should be shipped out to Buffalo. But Aaron Sanchez is a bright guy. I'm sure he knows there is a lot of room for improvement over today, his first big league win as a starter. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 4-2. Matt is in Cambridge. Matt, you're next on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go right ahead.
Hi, Mike. I thought it was interesting that Cease was allowed to face Jones in the eighth, and he's obviously a pretty talented righty, and then they pulled him against Pierce. I was just wondering if Pierce has had some success against Cecil in the past, or if you thought there was a reason for that move.
Well, Pierce does myrtleize left-handed pitchers. And to be honest, I thought Cecil was in there to get Davis, and if Davis had made his way on base, I don't know that he would have faced Adam Jones. But once he retires Davis, Jones is in the tying run, so you get him. But then the same you would have thought should have followed through, right? He got Jones, so Pierce is in the tying run, so leave him in against Pierce. There's no history there. Pierce has faced him once, and he's singled against him, so that doesn't mean a thing. Maybe it's just because Castro was up and ready, and Gibby figured you got the better matchup. You're going to use Castro anyway. Might as well get him in there now. And I don't have a real issue with that one.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you. In fact, I like it. I like the fact that John Gibbons is not married to, I have to use this guy only in the ninth inning and only bring him in with nobody on base and, capital C closer kind of thing. I like the fact that he's brought in Miguel Castro a couple of times in non-traditional closer spots. And I think that's the best way to use your bullpen, have your best guys in the biggest spots. Roberto Osuna has been the best guy so far, and he was terrific tonight. And Cecil and Osuna were very good as well. Your calls continue, 416-870-0590, star 590 in the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Before we get to the next call, let's listen in on the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 4-2 win over the Orioles.
You ever seen a pitcher have a better outing with seven walks than that one?
I think A.J. Burnett threw a no-hitter in walk nine. It's a little better. Yeah, it was a battle for him, especially early. You look up there and he's throwing more balls and strikes. But then I thought he kicked it in a little bit, especially that fourth inning, if I'm correct. It's been a battle for him up to this point this year, and it's nice to see him get a win. I overall, even though he walked those guys, I thought he looked more confident today. I thought more confident and even more, a little bit more relaxed, which is a big part of it. So, and then you could say our fans got a great look at the youngsters tonight. They all did something in a big, big way. So that's good. Nice win for us, when we're a little banged up.
What do you make of the way he's, completely on 1 minute and then completely off the second inning? He's three-pitch strikeout to Snyder, the four-pitch walk, and the command just kind of in and out.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes if you had the answer for that, it wouldn't happen. You'd be able to correct it. Well, yeah, there's a lot of violence to him. It's a violent delivery and everything. He gears it up pretty good. But I don't know. He'll figure that out. That's one of those things comes in time. He said walk issues in the minor leagues. He's still a young kid, and that's part of the maturing process. It's not necessarily unusual for those guys with the big arms, but he's just doing it right now at the big league level.
Gibby, you've said before, especially with the young pitchers, when it comes to whether or not you're going to let them stay in the game or yank them early, you have to kind of go by a feel whether or not they're going to get it. How important was that for Sanchez tonight to be able to continue going? Because if you had pulled him after all the walks early, it may have been a lot tougher for him to go out on a low like that.
Well, yeah, plus, even though he's walking some guys, I thought he was better than he had his previous two starts. And, the sixth there, if he walks a couple guys, you get the, the go-ahead run at the plate. Let's turn it over. He can't suck up a loss there, from all that he's been through. Suno came in, was great. It's that fine balance. You just can't do those things automatically. Sometimes you know, whatever you feel like. You know, if the guy's off, you think the game may get out of whack right there, or you know, I mean, it's the manager's perception of what's really going on, and the, you know, a lot of, you try to weigh a lot of different things. But we're gonna, I mean, he's gonna get plenty of chances to go deeper. You know, you subtract a few of those walks. I mean, it was really actually pretty low pitch count for the number, I think. So, yeah, good one for him. Got his first win this year. He needed that. We needed that.
Kind of in the same vein, Gibby, do you have to adjust as a manager with so many young players in your lineup? How you're going to deploy them and how you're going to work with them? In terms of with veterans, you know what you're going to expect, and you know what kind of effect that you're going to have on them if you make changes. Do you have to think a little bit differently with young guys in your lineup?
Yeah, I think so. Let's talk about the pitchers, bullpen guys, for example. You know, in the back of your mind, they're young, inexperienced. But you got to keep them fresh too. I mean, they're not, the guys have never been through the grind, so you got to make sure, you know what, they get their time off. I think that's important. And tonight, you know, they were all in good shape. Bullpen was in pretty good shape. You know, Francis really helped us out the other day, and then the off day. So you really monitor for that. I mean, it's not. I mean, if you got a chance to win a game, sometimes you may push it a little bit. But I mean, that's always in the back of your mind. You know, the starters, Norris and Sanchi. And even Hutch. I mean, he's been around, but he's still a baby out there as far as experience goes. You know, if it's a tough outing, they still may be in it, but they're labor and things like that. You know, I mean, some of the veterans you could push. You know, you could push Burley, Dickey a little bit further, and not have anything to worry about. But two totally different style of pitching. And then the position players, it's just trying to keep them positive, keep them pumped up, and if you see some things that they can do better, make some corrections, something might help them, you let them know. But you also got to pat them on the ass too, you know, knowing how tough it is, and you know that they're gonna scuffle at times, you know. And when you gamble with so many young ones, you know, on your team, you gotta live and die with it sometimes, because they're not gonna be good every night. You know, the great ones aren't good every night. I don't know if that answered it, Kenny, but...
I don't even remember what I asked.
Yeah, what did you ask?
Gibby, Travis had hits to all fields tonight and always seems to be in favorable counts, or at least most of the time. Is he the sort with his approach and that swing who may be able to stay out of prolonged slumps?
Yeah, I think so. You know, to start with, I mean, he does have a great approach. He's got a great idea of the strike zone. But I can't say that's surprising, because we heard that when we got him. And he's got that short stroke. You know, he's a line drive guy. You know, his timing's going to be more consistent than most guys with the bigger swings. I mean, he'll get out of whack every now and then, like anybody else. We haven't seen it yet, but he will. But yeah, a simpler approach, simpler swing, shorter swing. I mean, that usually causes less problems. But you know, his ability too to use the whole field. And he's showing some pop since he got to the big leagues. You know, I mean, you could tell the ball really came off his bat in spring training, but we didn't see the power that we're seeing now. So, and you know what, you guys will probably agree. You know, you watch him play defense. You know, his double plays. He's got that great power feed. You know, he really looks like he's been out there a while. You know, he's zero panic. You know, he's a special kid. Great pickup.
Sure is. That's John Gibbons talking about Devin Travis. He was talking about Aaron Sanchez before, and is seeing the same things we were talking about here earlier, about how he was so good for that brief period and all over the place for pretty much the rest of his outing. Aaron Sanchez gave up just two hits in 5 1/3 innings, but walked 7. Only gave up 2 runs, though, and he picks up his first big league win as a starter as the Blue Jays take down the Orioles 4-2. This is Blue Jays Talk. I'm Mike Wilner. We're taking your phone calls. Let's get right back to it. Rocky is in Markham. Hello, Rocky.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk. Obviously, you guys are talking about Aaron Sanchez's performance. there's times, there's flashes where he looked like a real ace, and then there's times that he was losing control. If he keeps it up like this, do you think he would still be in the rotation, or would they move him to the bullpen? Because another player I saw, like other than Osuna and Castro, is Kevin Gausman. They believe that the Orioles think that this guy could be the ace of that staff for the long term. And I've seen him pitch, and that guy is also lights out as well. Like, I saw him gunning like 99. So would you keep Sanchez in the rotation, or would you move him into the bullpen if he keeps it up like this?
Well, as far as your Gausman non sequitur goes, I guess, I can't figure out why he's not in the Orioles rotation. I mean, he's not off to a great start to the year. His ERA was over almost 7 coming into the game, and walking a lot of guys, but he was pretty good tonight after he gave up that double to Dalton Pompey. For Aaron Sanchez, you kind of knew this was coming. Maybe not 7 walks and not being able to get through 6 innings once in 3 starts. But when you bring a 22-year-old and put him in your rotation, you can't expect him to pitch like an ace or to be even really, really good right off the top. And you know, they're no dummies. They knew that he was going to hit some bumps in the road. But they haven't been out of any of the games in which he's pitched. While he's pitched in them. Tonight was the first time that the Blue Jays even scored a run for him. I think I would love to see them stick with him for another couple or 3 starts and see if he can work it out. And if he can't, you send him to the bullpen where he was so dominant last year, where he doesn't have to worry about pacing himself. He doesn't have to worry about secondary pitches. He can just go out there and blow 97 past everybody for an inning or two like he did last year.
I agree with everything what you said, because last year he was like really dominant, and so far I guess with the transition he's a little bit shaky, but I think he's going to pan out once it's all said and done. And another question I want to ask is, I remember last year how Daniel Norris and Dalton Pompey like skyrocketed through the minor league system. Do you think there's going to be a prospect that's going to have a similar situation like those two last year? Because the one that comes out of my mind is Dwight Smith Jr., because I was reading on Sportsnet saying that he could be the prospect that scouts are looking at, and so far his numbers seem pretty good. He's batting .321, 17 hits, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts, but so far he seems to be good so far for AA. And do you think he would be the prospect that could make that transitional step into the majors, or do you see somebody else?
I don't know that there's anyone, honestly, who's going to rocket through the system this year. I mean, there's Ramon Fields. He's a guy who I have my eye on because I think he's got a few weapons that are major league ready right now. As far as Dwight Smith goes, he's starting in Double A as opposed to A ball, and he's been good all the way through, but whose spot does he take? You know, who's he rocketing through the system to replace? You had Pompey came up with when Colby Rasmus went down and Anthony Gost wasn't performing, so there was an opportunity there. I don't know that opportunity is necessarily going to present itself again this year, but he's definitely someone to keep an eye on for sure. He played a lot in spring training. The Blue Jays were trying to get as much of a look at him as they possibly could. Thanks for the call. I still think we're going to see Ramon Fields here in the major leagues. Blue Jays, 8-7, beat the Orioles 4-2. And after all the hand-wringing and rending of garments of last week, they're a game out of first place in the American League East. Your phone calls continue. Let's go to Greg in Niagara Falls. Greg, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
How are you, Mike?
Good. Go ahead.
You sound a lot better.
Thank you.
Okay, just wanted to talk about two pitchers tonight really quickly. Sanchez, I was even hearing Buckins. Not just him what he's saying like he used to tell me in the past, but we've got more value in Sanchez starting than out of the bullpen. Or I said it wrong. There's more value in him starting than being in the bullpen.
Which way are you really trying to say this?
Well, as a starter, because if he's going to do good, which is still up a little bit up in the air, but if he's going to show consistency, I mean, wouldn't that be better? I mean,
absolutely.
Because Pat Henkin, he started that way, and it turned out for him. And I know I'm not saying it will for Sanchez. And just really quickly, Mike, and then I'm going to hang up. Just give me an update on Ricky Romero. I have no computer, or nothing like that, and I would just like to know how he's doing it, or if the end of the line's coming for him. And have a good night and take care.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Yeah, there's absolutely more upside for Aaron Sanchez in the rotation, if he's capable of doing it, than there is in the bullpen. No question. You want to get 180 quality innings out of a guy rather than 60 or 70. There is no update on Ricky Romero. He hasn't thrown a pitch yet this year in a game in front of a paying customer. He's coming off those knee surgeries last year and didn't pitch the last couple of months of last season. Had surgery on both his knees. Wound up only making 9 starts last year, and hopefully he's continuing to recover and continuing to get healthy. And, you know, you never know. I mean, complete and utter gravy if Ricky Romero ever contributes a thing for the Blue Jays again, but he's only 30. It would be great to see him back. But I would be astonished if we ever saw it happen, at least with this team. Unky, you're next in Thornhill on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the program.
I am. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm not going to flog the Sanchez thing too much, but I'd just like to say something, that I am led to believe that people learn their trade in the minor leagues, and I believe that Sanchez and Norris should still be in the minor leagues, especially in view of the fact that we have guys like Estrada and Francis. I don't know what your views are on that. I'm also hearing people talking about Pilar not being in the lineup when Saunders gets here. I cannot believe that anybody can think that the way this guy, especially, is in the field, that he won't be in the lineup.
Yeah, a lot of people really are dying to know what happens when this happens in 2-3 days or before in 2-3 weeks or whatever. And I guess I get it a little bit. I've always been more of wishing that people would just kind of enjoy what's in front of them and have fun watching the team instead of agonizing over what might happen and hypothetical situations where we don't have all the information that we're going to have, but we don't really have any of the information that we're going to have when that time comes about. Nobody knows what's going to happen when Michael Saunders comes back. Now, it's getting closer and closer. Saunders is the Blue Jays hope that he's going to be here. Well, not here, but going to meet them on Friday when they open that series in Tampa. So there's really, the clock's ticking. Saunders is going to be here any day now, so it's easier to look ahead. But what if Jose Bautista has to go on the disabled list with the shoulder injury? If he does, then Saunders will play left, Pilar will play right, Pompey will stay in center, and everybody stays the same. And that's why I find it so crazy to speculate. People have talked for weeks about what's going to happen when Saunders comes back. What's going to happen when Saunders comes back? Did anybody mention, Jose Bautista might hurt his shoulder and not be able to play? You never know. All all the speculation is just wasted. So I don't know what's going to happen when Saunders comes back.
Mike, there was talk that Gibbons said that Saunders is going to be his everyday boy.
He is.
Well,
and he should be.
He should be?
Sure, because he's the second best outfielder that the Blue Jays have besides Jose Bautista.
Oh, but Pilar's a much better outfielder. I mean, look at these brilliant catches he's bringing off.
Have you ever seen Michael Saunders play?
No.
Okay, so you can't really speak to that. I understand that Pilar has been excellent defensively, and it will be very, very hard for Michael Saunders to top the things that Kevin Pillar has been doing this year. And I'm not suggesting that necessarily Saunders should just completely replace Kevin Pillar. But remember that you're only seeing one side of the issue.
Yes, no, and, I understand.
And offense is a big, big deal too. And Michael Saunders, I think, is going to wind up being a very, very good offensive player.
Okay, then let me ask you the following question.
Sure.
Why does Pompey's name not come into this?
I think it should. Yeah. I don't think, you know, anyone who's talked to me about it, I've never said it's I've said I don't want to talk about it because you never know. It's too hypothetical and too speculative for me. But I've never thought it should be just about Pillar or Saunders. I think
correct.
It's about Pompey as well. But
right.
You know what? Dalton Pompey right now has an OPS of 794, and Kevin Pillar has an OPS of 623. So that's a very, very significant difference in offense. Dalton Pompey has a better approach to play. He gets himself in better hitters counts. He seems to me to be a better overall player than Pillar, although Pompey has had his issues defensively and Pillar has been outstanding defensively.
Right.
I don't know what you do when it all shakes down.
Yeah.
And I don't know that the Blue Jays exactly know what they're supposed to do. And that's why we wait and we see, it, you know, a lot of it has to do with Jose Bautista. Can he play or can he not? If he can't, then Pillar goes to right. Saunders takes over and left. If he can, then you got a problem.
Right.
And maybe what winds up happening is that Saunders falls into a sort of a platoon with Pillar, that Pompey plays most of the time in center, and Pillar plays every once in a while in center. But again, we'll see how that shakes out when it happens.
Okay, and I'd just like to say one more thing. I'd love you and Jerry to be doing the TV.
Well, what about Joe?
Well, okay, but I mean you.
What about Buck and Tabby?
What about them? They're not in your class. They're not in your class.
That's very kind of you. I don't think that's the case at all, though.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks, you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I would love to be doing TV. That's where the big bucks are. But I'm very, very happy doing this as well. Thank you for the call. We will continue to take your calls right up till 11 o'clock Eastern time. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Michael Saunders played 9 innings today in left field, went 0-for-4 as Dunedin lost to Daytona 7-3, and I believe the Daytona Tortugas. I believe the plan is to have him play 9 innings again tomorrow and then join the Blue Jays Friday when they open up their series in Tampa, in St. Petersburg, against the Tampa Bay Rays. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays talk continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Mike Wilner will take your phone yells after the game. Hate Blue Jays talk. Pick up the phone and yell in to Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The runner goes to third, the pitch high, the head first slide at third, the tag, he's out at third base on a great tag by Josh Donaldson. Deaza cut down and goes in head first and pays the price.
Yeah, that was some less than groovy thinking there by Alejandro Deaza, with Chris Davis at the plate representing the tying run, a guy who could easily tie the game. With one swing of the bat, Deaza decides to steal third with two out, and he is made to pay for that poor decision by Russell Martin. The Orioles wind up going down 4-2 to the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays have a chance for the sweep. They'll bring their brooms to the ballpark for the first time this season. Tomorrow night, we're on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. Drew Hutchison against Chris Tillman, a rematch of the April 12th game that saw neither Hutchison nor Tillman pitch well at all, and the Blue Jays wind up winning it 10-7. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls up to 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Samir in Toronto, you're up next. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, thank you.
I was going to ask a little bit earlier about Sanchez, but you already addressed that question. So I kind of wanted to ask, do you think the Jays are going to go out and try and acquire a more established starter or bullpen arm? And I wanted to ask as well what the latest information regarding Jonathan Papelbon is. I heard some rumors a while back, and I just haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, I haven't heard any rumors about Jonathan Papelbon. I don't think he's a serious target of the Blue Jays. He makes way too much money, and he's been declining, at least in velocity, the last couple of seasons. He's not what he used to be, and so I don't think he's top of their list at all. So far this year, he's averaging 91.2 on his fastball, where in 2012 it was 94. In 2011, it was 95. He's getting older, not the guy he used to be. And I understand that he's a name everybody knows, and he's won a couple of World Series, and he's had a lot of success over the course of his career. But I really don't think, I mean, unless the Phillies take nothing back and pay the whole contract so that if he comes here and doesn't do anything, the Jays could release him and not be on the hook for anything. I don't think we're seeing Jonathan Papelbon here. I do think that now is not a time where trades are going to be made. But I think in general, Alex Anthopoulos is always working the phones, always talking, seeing where other teams are as far as moves they're looking to make and those sorts of things. I think he's always trying to add, whether it's to the rotation or to the bullpen or somewhere else. I really do. They've got to get their starters pitching better, and I'm sure that they're looking to figure out how they can do that, and adding is one way to do it, absolutely.
I find that the offense is going to be there, and that's obvious on its own. The pitching, however, over the course of 162 games, I just don't feel is going to hold up very much longer. I know it's still early, but over the course of the season, I find that it's a little too much reliance on an unknown factor.
Well, factors are always unknown until they're known. And we certainly haven't seen Aaron Sanchez or Daniel Norris at their best yet by any means, or Drew Hutchison for that matter. And I'll take their ceilings over a lot of mediocre established pitchers, but they're going to have to start coming through on that promise soon. I don't know if it has to be soon, but they have to at least start going six innings pretty soon. I mean, the Jays have, they won today behind a not great start from Sanchez. They won one of Daniel Norris's starts and really, even in the start where he didn't get out of the third inning on the weekend, they weren't out of it when he left. But I would still rather have their ceilings than putting Marco Estrada or Jeff Francis or Andrew Albers in the rotation at this point in time. But I do believe that they're always looking to improve. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Sohan in Toronto. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. Love the Jays. Couple questions. In terms of Osuna and Castro, ultimately, are they projected to be starters?
And, eventually. Not this year.
And second question was, in terms of all the young pitchers that we have, just out of curiosity, who, in your opinion, has the best pure stuff? And if I could include a Hoffman in there, I would love to hear your opinion.
I've never seen Hoffman pitch, so I can't comment on him. I mean, he's something else, though, from everything you hear about him, and may well be here this summer to do the stuff that Aaron Sanchez did. He's going to make a three-inning start tomorrow, which he's very, very excited about. he apparently has unbelievable stuff. The guys I've seen, I mean, Norris's stuff is incredible. Asuna's stuff is incredible. Sanchez's stuff is incredible. Castro's is off the charts. You know, from a pure stuff perspective, they've all
got unbelievable
stuff. It's about harnessing it.
Right.
That's what separates, right?
And in fact, maybe if I could ask you one more thing. I don't know if I heard it right, but during spring training, I thought I heard Sanchez working on maybe a different mechanic or improved mechanic. Does that have anything to do with his velocity and or accuracy? Although it seems to be that velocity-wise, at least, it seems to be coming back.
Yeah, the velocity's fine. He just didn't have it that first game. And,
okay.
You know, there are a lot of reasons. I think people tend to... forget that we're talking about someone who's 22 years old, still growing and still maturing. And the downside of the downside of the stat geek revolution, if you will, is that there are a lot of people who see these guys just as numbers and as robots.
Right.
And this is how this person performs. So this is what he does. And that there's no room for change or growth. And there's no room for to say, oh, he's 22 years old and making his first major league start. He's probably going to be a little bit amped up or a little bit nervous or a little bit something, right?
Sure, sure.
The mechanical changes, from what I'm led to understand, happened last year before he got to the major leagues, over like his last four or five starts in the minors. So that's when that stuff happened.
All right. Thanks a lot. Always fun to listen to you guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 4-2. Devin Travis breaks a 2-2 tie with his fourth home run. He is tied for the club lead with Edwin Encarnacion, and we need to embrace the home run. I don't expect Devin Travis to hit 30 or 40 like I expect Edwin and Bautista and Donaldson to do. But, and I'm writing a column on this for Sportsnet.ca that will be up tonight. I'm hearing too many, not tonight on the program, but in general, disparaging comments about the home run, like they're bad, or like, having a team that hits a lot of home runs is a bad thing. It's not. It's wonderful. And the Blue Jays are doing it to great effect this year so far. They are leading the major leagues with 21 home runs, tied with the New York Yankees for the major league lead with 21 home runs, and they are leading the major leagues in runs scored as well. They're 8-7, not because they hit too many home runs, but because the starting pitching's been too shaky over the course of the first 2.5 weeks of the season. Mo is in Oakville. Mo, welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Mike, thanks for the line.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, I love the fact that we're in a position of embarrassment of riches. We have so many good players in the pipeline, and right now, young team, and I love that we're there. But that's the reason why I called. But I also wanted to ask you something else. What does it say about the Jays if they sweep tomorrow, and with the Bautista drama and him stepping up in front of his team? What does that say to Baltimore and to maybe other teams in our division and across MLB? I just wanted to get your take on that. I'm going to hang up and listen if that's cool.
Well, what do you mean? I don't quite understand.
Well, like this whole Bautista thing in the media yesterday, I saw the interview with him standing up to Oriole pitching. And I just think, like, if the Jays end up sweeping them and you have this side drama, along with Bautista standing up for his team, along with Jones standing up for his team, I just want to know if that's any impact. I'm not going to say it's going to affect the Jays season, but what does it say to the East and maybe to the rest of baseball, if it does? And I just wanted to hear your take on that.
I wonder, honestly, how much of that is myth and how much of that gets built up in hindsight than actually happens. I mean, I think it can have a galvanizing effect on a team. I think it can bring everybody together and that sort of like rah-rah warrior stuff, whatever you want to call
it. Right.
I don't know if it has an actual impact on wins and losses, though.
No, I agree with that. But what is it? I'm asking you, what do you think it says about A. Bautista, and what does it say kind of about our team? Does it sort of say anything about us as a team that's not going to step back and take any crap? And I think Bautista doing that and stepping up is a positive, and I like that. It's sort of the hockey / baseball mentality together, and I just kind of was trying to tie that in to see what you thought of it. That's all.
Yeah, I honestly I don't I don't spend a lot of time thinking about stuff like that. I mean, I think you're right. But I don't think that this team was necessarily going to be a team that got pushed around or was going to take any crap before. And this is something that we've seen Jose Bautista do tons of times. I mean, he did it in Baltimore when Darren O'Day threw that pitch behind his back a week and a half ago. And then he hit a home run. He did it. I remember he did it a couple of years ago here. I think it was Ivan Nova buzzed him and he got angry and he hit a home run and he enjoyed the hell out of it, as he is more than entitled to enjoy the hell out of it after a pitcher throws behind his back or buzzes him or whatever. But I don't think that there's any sort of grander statement that's going to be made. I think that having guys like Russ Martin and Josh Donaldson and Bautista all together, I mean, I'm told that Martin was the guy who got everybody up on the top step when Bautista came in after hitting that home run. To whether that sends a message across the field or not, I think more of those things are for that whole athlete, macho, culture, clubhousey thing that make people feel better about themselves and, again, can have a galvanizing effect on a team. And bring that, you know, all for one attitude and us against the world and all of that stuff. But I don't know how much any of that stuff translates to wins and losses. Better that than the reverse. Better that everyone does that than they ignore Bautista and agree with Adam Jones. That's for sure. Gary is in Toronto. Gary, welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hi, Mike. We're talking about Saunders. They bring him up. Don't they have to send somebody down?
Yes.
Who they're going to send down?
Don't know. I don't have to worry about that till Friday.
It's my opinion, Tolleson, but I don't know because everybody's talking about bringing him up, but you're going to have to lose the guy off the team now.
Well, yeah, but that's okay because he's really good.
Oh, I know he's really good, but the rest of the guys are pretty good too.
Yeah, but he's better than a lot of them.
Are you going to send a pitcher down?
I don't think you can send a pitcher down. You don't want to run with a six-man bullpen ever in the modern-day Major League Baseball, but especially when you're not getting six innings out of your starters on a regular basis. It could be that Jose Bautista winds up going on the disabled list. That's one possibility with the strained shoulder. We don't know. With the sprained shoulder. Joints get sprained, muscles get strained.
Nope, not.
So it's possible that Jose Bautista might wind up going on the disabled list, and that opens up a roster spot for Saunders. Otherwise, I would think if Jose Reyes is okay, then it's probably Ryan Goins who goes down because, same as spring training, he's got options.
Yeah, I would say Goins or Tolleson.
Tolleson doesn't have options, so if you send Tolleson down, you lose him, and he's a pretty valuable guy to have.
Yeah. Okay, one more question. When they practice their batting practice and everything,
yep.
Do they do that just before the game, or do they come in the daytime and then have to go home?
No, it's not like hockey. There's no like morning skate or anything like that. They get to the ballpark generally some guys get here as early as 1 o'clock, but they kind of have to be here by 20 after 4. But everybody's here at least an hour before that. And then they take batting practice from about 4:30 to 5:30.
Okay. That's all. I always wondered about that.
All right.
Okay. That's
there you
fine.
Go. Thank you for the call. That's, of course, for a 7 o'clock game. Things are different when times are different. But generally what happens is the home team takes batting practice about 2.5 hours before the first pitch. And then the visiting team about an hour and a half before the first pitch. And they both teams go for an hour. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles by a score of 4-2. They will have the brooms out tomorrow night and a chance to wind up with a split on this homestand after starting at 1-4 and 2-5. Brian in Toronto, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
All right. Go ahead.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. Devin Travis. Man,
yeah.
What a pickup.
Unbelievable.
I was listening to a little bit of play-by-play of the Baltimore play-by-play, and these guys were blown away, impressed that you were able to get him from Detroit. So I don't know if it's too early to talk about Rookie of the Year considerations or
it's
what.
It's definitely too early to talk about Rookie of the Year.
Anyways, and it might be too early to talk about this too, Mike. My question for you is about Johan Santana.
Yep, definitely too early to talk about Johan Santana.
Has there been any murmurings of how he's been?
Hadn't even thrown off a mound yet.
Yeah.
As far as I'm led to understand. No, if Johan Santana pitches for the Blue Jays, it won't be before the middle of June.
Yeah.
At the earliest. Might not even be till after the All-Star break.
Yeah. You know, I figured, and he might not be he's probably not going to be the same guy that he once was.
But impossible to imagine that he will be.
You know, I'm really intrigued about that possible comeback.
It's, you know what? It's an intriguing thing because he's, you know, he was never a throw the ball through a brick wall kind of guy. His changeup was his best weapon. But he's got to have enough of a fastball that there can be separation between that and his changeup. But he hasn't thrown a pitch in the major league since 2012. Yeah. And he's thrown a total of 117 innings in the major leagues in the last 5 years. So
there you go.
Count on nothing from Johan Santana.
True. And all this dust up between, with Bautista and everything, the history with the pitchers. I was in Mexico in January, and I was having drinks with John Danks, believe it or not.
Nice.
And he was telling me about, you know, we're talking about Chicago and the pickups they made and how he had a run-in with Jose. But he told me afterwards, all those guys were having beers at the airport in Chicago after the game. And they were all like, and John Danks didn't know he was standing beside Jose, but one of his buddies says, oh, Jose's right behind you. And it was kind of awkward at first, but Jose was completely good about it. Apparently he was like, saying, no, man, it's all part of the game. It's, you know, we get riled up and it's intensity.
At the airport after a game?
Yeah.
Major League Baseball players?
Apparently.
After a Major League Baseball game?
This is the story.
That doesn't happen.
No?
No. No, they don't go to the airport. They don't wait at airport bars. They don't do stuff like that. They take a bus right to the plane.
Oh,
almost never go through the terminal.
Never go through the terminal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
I don't mean to wreck your story.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But... All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. We got time for one more call. We got time for one more call. Scott in Cambridge, you are on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Scott.
Call of optimism. There's a lot of talk, obviously, with what we're going to do in our outfield. This is a team of options. We've got Pilar, Pompey. Whatever happens with Bautista, if he goes on the DL... Go on the DL now. Don't go on the DL at the end of the season. And I feel like this is the kind of team where no matter where we head, there's going to be somebody that's going to fill that hole. I mean, I was down tonight. It was my third game of the year. I've seen Norris get lit up twice, which is obviously discouraging. But to see Sanchez, battle through and essentially – come through with a W, it's encouraging. You need your young pitchers to go through those types of starts where they're uncomfortable and they can battle through and see that there's light on the end, at the end of the tunnel. So, like I say, it was encouraging for me to go down and see a win. And then the other thing that I was going to ask you is Navarro. I didn't see an update today. I don't know what his status is. Have you heard anything on him? And that's about it. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, and Sanchez did battle through, and he found it, and it clicked in, and he had that nice little run there of 7 outs in a row on 21 pitches, and then it sort of clicked out again. Norris had a start like that last time out, the one before Atlanta, the start against the Rays, where he battled through without his best stuff and only gave up 2 runs on 2 hits over 5 innings of work. And hopefully, you know, these are good lessons, and these guys will learn and serve them well. The update on Navarro, I don't think there's been an update on Navarro. He had the cramp that he came out with yesterday, and I don't know if he could have played tonight or not. They didn't need him tonight. We'll see. They say it's nothing, so I'm assuming that it's going to be nothing and that he'll be available to them tomorrow, because you can't go too many days without being able to use your backup catcher if you need him. Tomorrow, the season-opening homestand wraps up, and the Blue Jays are trying to go 5-5. In order to do that, they'll have to sweep the Orioles. Drew Hutchison and Chris Tillman. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. Thanks to Frank Head, Derek Brandeo, Tom Young, and to all of you